John chapter 5 will be beginning in verse 8 for our message this morning. As you turn there, I want to ask you, who is the coolest and the most unpopular person that you know? Who is the coolest and most unpopular person you know? Again, John chapter 5, beginning in verse 8, this is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Jesus said to the paraplegic man, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it's not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered him, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we come today with many struggles. We come today with suffering, with pain. We come today looking for answers, looking for help. We pray, O Lord, that you would give us your Holy Spirit, and that even from this powerful, most holy word, you would give us what we need. We know that you will, Father. In Jesus' name we trust. Amen. Maybe some of you have been watching, or were watching, the Senate confirmation hearings of Judge Ketanji Brown, possibly becoming the next Supreme Court justice in the United States. Judge Ketanji Brown is a very intelligent woman. No one gets to that level in the world of law without being very intelligent. She's obviously a very hard worker, and also somebody who knows how to get along with others. You don't make it that far in life if you don't know how to get along with others. So she's bright, hardworking, and surely a kind person. I don't want that to get lost in the midst of what I'm about to say. But in the midst of this hearing, where the senators get to ask her questions as they're considering whether or not they'll vote for her to be the next Supreme Court justice, one of the senators asked her, "Judge Ketanji Brown, what is a woman?" I'm sure many of you know what she said. She said, "I can't answer that. Effectively, I don't know. I'm not a biologist." How does such a bright woman, a woman who has gone to the highest levels of education in her field, get something so wrong that even a preschooler could answer? Why did that happen? It's because she has bought into and accepted teachings in our common era, this time that we're living in, about men and women. We're in the midst of a time where people are saying you can't simply define a man and a woman so easily. We're in the midst of a time where the redefinition of a man and a woman has gone so far that somebody who's about to become a Supreme Court Justice of the land cannot simply answer the question, what is a woman? Earlier she had celebrated the fact that she would be the first black woman to potentially be a Supreme Court Justice, but when asked what a woman is, she can't answer. This is not to denigrate this woman. It is to show you how the world's ways wound. I am sure that if she could go back and re-answer that question, she would have answered it differently. But because she had bought into the world's ways, she ended up saying something idiotic. My friends, the same will happen to all who buy into the world's philosophies and ways. At first it might seem great. At first it may seem right. But in the end, it will be like having eaten food that had gone bad. The world's ways wound. That is the bad news. And I don't mean that on every single level. There are people in the world doing great things. The shirt that I'm wearing was not made by Christians. You know, there are many technologies that have been developed by people of all different persuasions. I'm thankful for all of the common grace that God sheds upon all people. But even then, the presuppositions, the things that are believed, that are kind of underneath it all, the undergirding belief that there is no God and so we can make up what things are on our own, is corrupting. And it wounds. And it leads to either saying things or doing things that are idiotic. But Jesus' ways heal. Heal wounds unto health. Of course, I praise God for all of the ways that I was wounded and Jesus is healing me. You're looking at the grandest idiot who ever walked the face of the earth, possibly. But Jesus' ways heal unto health. Let's see how this plays out then. In verse 8, Jesus is dealing with a paraplegic. A man who had not been able to walk for 38 years of his life. His legs did not work. Last week we spent a lot of time considering what life would have been like for him and the character of Jesus who moves towards people in need like that. And Jesus says to him at this grand moment, get up, take up your bed, and walk. Now, which of those three things do you think was evil? Which one do you think of those three things was the most horrific thing that Jesus told him to do? Was it to get up? Was it to take up his mat, which would have been just a reed mat? Reeds grow in water. The poorest of the poor would only have a reed mat if they had anything at all. Pick up this light mat. Was that an evil thing to ask? And walk. Certainly that must be something terribly wicked. I mean, nothing's wrong there, right? Yeah, but let's see. The man was healed. He took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed. The Jews are saying that what Jesus had told this man to do was evil and was wrong, taking up your mat. What had happened? You see, the Sabbath commandment, the fourth commandment in the Ten Commandments, was given to Moses over 1,000 years before Jesus walked the earth. And that commandment was was a wonderful thing for the Jewish people at the time, who had been enslaved in Egypt, working 7 days a week, 16 hours a day, making bricks without hay, possibly having their male children all killed. Terrible life. God delivers the people out and says, no, 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 you won't work 7 days a week, you'll work 6 days a week in your agricultural society, and then on the seventh day is a day off. That's the time when you all get together in community and we worship God. It's a time for celebration. It's a time for restoration. It's not a time for regulation. But by the time of Jesus, these Jewish authorities, Jesus himself being a Jew, these Jewish authorities said, if you're to keep this command not to work, then you are not allowed to pick up your bed and walk, like this little reed mat. I remember when I went to Israel on a study tour in seminary. We got there late at night, this building, 15 levels high or so, wonderful building, we all get in, we've got our luggage, I'm ready to go up to my room, it's like the 11th floor or something, hit the button, light doesn't come on. Like, hit the button, light doesn't come on. Like, what's wrong with this place, man? Come on. This is a fine hotel, you know, I see other people coming over, hitting the button, nothing's coming on. Like, this. I was just about to go to the person at the desk and say, your elevators aren't working, when all of a sudden it opened up. I'm like, okay. So we all get in, we all pile in there. Hit number 11 in the elevator. Go to the 11th floor, doesn't turn on. Okay, doors close, we start going up. First floor, doors open up. Okay. Second floor, door. Do you know why we did this all the way up to the 11th floor? Because it was the Sabbath, and they said it would be work to hit the button on the elevator. This same insanity comes down to our very day. An over-regulation of a command that God meant to be freeing and joyful. But you can see already there is this disagreement. Whose ways are truly the ways that bring healing and joy? And whose ways lead to idiotic action? Whose ways lead one to do what is pleasing in God's sight and healthful, and whose ways do not? It is the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to take up your bed. And Jesus answered, and the man who had been healed answered them, the man who healed me. Okay? At this point, they're looking at that man and saying, it's not lawful for you to pick up your mat and walk. They might not have known that he had just been healed from being a paraplegic for 38 years. I mean, he certainly wouldn't have had nice... He would have looked like basically a very, very homeless person. It would have seemed that maybe they could have perceived... But, you know, to think that somebody was a paraplegic and was now walking, okay, that's a big step. But here they know. Now they know. He said, the man who healed me, he said to me, take up my mat and walk. Now here is the idiocy coming out. What do you think that these Jewish authorities should have said at this point? Can you tell us what a woman is? If somebody says to you, the man who just healed me, he told me take up my mat and walk, what should they say, right? What should be the right answer that comes out of their mouth if they're not bound up by the world's ways? They should say, healed you? What are you talking about? The man says, I was a paraplegic for 38 years. I couldn't walk. I got around in my hands. I mean, it's amazing. And then they're saying, well, where is this guy? Because my grandmother needs help. He was a nice guy. Let's go find him. I mean, he's got to be around here somewhere, right? That would have made sense, right? But they were so taken with the world's ways of thinking that their response instead was, Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? They're not concerned about the right things. The world has bound them up to be entirely focused on their own power and authority and their role in the people's lives to direct them how they will. They're so focused on the wrong things. The world's ways wound. Jesus' ways heal unto health. Now, Jesus had withdrawn. The man didn't know. Jesus connects up with him later on, though. And what does he say to him? Verse 14. See, you are well. And then he says something that we can get tripped up on. I want to spend a moment here. He says, sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. Now, is Jesus saying that everything bad that we have in our lives, say you get the flu, you got the flu 2 years ago or something, or maybe you got COVID, or maybe you broke your arm, or maybe you got in a car accident. Jesus is not saying that every single thing that's bad that happens to you is because you have committed some particular sin yourself. I'm not saying that if we do something that is evil, that God wouldn't bring a just and fair retribution to our lives. That is a possibility. But in John chapter 9, with a blind man, Jesus' disciples say to him, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus says, neither one. So we don't know why, okay, people are suffering in their lives. We can't just simply say, oh, it's because you sinned. Right. That was the error of Job's friends in the Old Testament. So Jesus is not saying that. And Jesus is not saying, sin no more so that nothing worse may happen to you, meaning, now, go out. And if you have even the smallest little germ of a selfish thought in your mind, boom! It's going to be worse than paralysis. Right? That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus came to save sinners. He knows the struggles and troubles that we'll have as Christians to follow Him after having been healed and living thankful lives in response. What Jesus is getting at here necessitates our better understanding of the Old Testament. It necessitates a better understanding of what the Bible calls a covenant, which is people in relationship. But in this case, it's a relationship that God structures with human beings, His creatures. In which case, He is the Father, and we are the children. He is the King, and we are the servants. And within this relationship, this covenant community relationship, there are groups of people, two groups of people within the church, you could say. There are those that you categorize as the righteous, not because they are so good, but because God has made them right through the death of Christ for their sins. And through His resurrection, He makes them righteous when they place their faith in Him. And then those righteous people within the covenant community are called to then live lives of righteousness, meaning they are loving and serving God and neighbor as a way of thanking God for His grace. That's what this one group is like, the righteous. They're not without sin. In the Old Testament, the righteous were the people who recognized, I need to take a sacrifice to the temple, okay? So that's the righteous. The second group, if you read the Psalms, you'll note this a lot. They are called the wicked. They are called the scoffers. They are called sinners. It's a group that is not trusting in God, despite His saving them, despite His healing them. They're not trusting in God. They're not seeking to walk in His ways as a thankful response to His grace. But instead, they're walking in the world's ways, which wound. So there's two groups. There's the righteous within the covenant community, and there are the sinners. What Jesus is effectively saying to this man is, I have shown you grace, just like God showed grace to the Israelites in delivering them out of slavery. just as God has shown us grace by sending His Son to die for our wrongdoing and rise from the dead for our salvation, Jesus is saying, I have shown you special kindness in saving you from being a paraplegic. Now, as a way of thanking God, no longer be somebody who rejects God, which is what this man had been doing in his life, but now be somebody who responds rightly to God. That's all he's saying. He's not saying now be an absolutely perfect person or you're going to get hit upside the head like you've never been hit before. He's saying now that you've been shown grace, orient your life towards the healing ways that I will lead you in. Now, the man went away and he told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. I mean, they'd asked, and he goes back and he tells them. And this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Do you see the idiocy of this way? They're persecuting a man who healed a paraplegic because he told a man to pick up his mat and walk on the Sabbath. But it gets worse. Jesus knows what they're doing. He knows what they're saying. He knows what they're plotting. And Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now." This had to do with actually a lot of people in Jesus' day believed that on the Sabbath, God was working because He had to work. He's the Creator. He's the Sustainer. He's always working. And it was kind of interesting brain candy in the first century. You know, oh, God commanded us. God told us not to lie. God doesn't lie. You know, God told us to do this. He doesn't. But on the Sabbath, God's told us not to work, but then He is working. The sort of interesting things people are saying. But then Jesus says this, "And I am working until now." The Jews did not miss what He meant. That is why the Jews were seeking all the more, no longer just to persecute Him, now they're ready to commit murder. Because not only was He breaking the Sabbath, but He was even calling God His own Father and making Himself equal with God. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus Christ comes to guide us away from those folks in the world who are getting it wrong and leading us to be bound up in ways and do things that we will be ashamed of. Jesus comes as God to instruct us in the right way, in the healing path, unto true health as human beings. The question before this healed man is, will I follow the ways of the world that wounds, or will I follow the way of this Jesus who heals? And that is the question before us as well. Where do you find yourself most tempted to follow in the ways of the world? Are you tempted to begin rethinking what is a man and what is a woman and all of that right now? Or are you wise unto Jesus' word, unto the word of Scripture that says God created them male and female? Where is the world capturing your attention? That is the tension point of your life, where you need to reorient yourself to the Lord and His healing word. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, please help us to see how we can Help us to see where we are buying into the instructions and the voices of this world so that we can more intelligently give ourselves to the Word of God, which will never fail to lead us in the right way. Even if we be unpopular, even if people don't think of us as being a part of the crowd, the in crowd, because we don't go with the world, Lord, please help us to be okay with that, to be unpopular, to walk in the ways, the healing path of Jesus, that we might be a people who can be a help to those in the world. For their sake and for your glory. Amen.